Today's shir is Masechta Ksubas Daf Lamed Beis. We will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Beis, five lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes what we learned in the Mishnah Da'abah, Choysav Al Chois Aviv. If one is Ma'anes, one violates these women, even though there's a Chiyuv Karis by having relations with these women, still there's a Chiyuv Knas. Ask the Gemara. V'riminu, we learned in our Mishnah in Masech Makos and Dafyud Gimel Amir Aleph. Elohein Aloikin. The following people get Malkus. Haba ala choysoi, vala chois aviv, vala chois imoi, vala chois ishtoi, vala ishus achiv, vala ishus achi aviv, vala nida. All of these women are a chiv karis, and yet the Mishnah in Masech Makos tells us that if they were warned that if before having relations with these women, you will receive Malkus for having relations for them, you'll get Malkus. The Kaimlon, and as we have been learning, there is a halach of Kimle Midrabimnei, Dana Loikim Mishalim. We can't give a person both Malkus and make him pay Knas. So if the Mishnah Masechta Makos says there's a Chi of Malkus, then obviously there's no Chi of Knas. So as Tosfos learns, so therefore, our Mishnah is difficult to understand. How could our Mishnah say that there's a Chiyuv Knas when the Mishnah Masechta Makos says there's a Chiyuv Malkus? Tosfos Shonim says the question could be asked the other way around too. That how could the Mishnah Masechta Makos say that there's a Chiyuv Malkus when our Mishnah says there's a Chiyuv Knas? Tosfos also points out that actually our Gemara could have asked this question on the first part of our Mishnah, where in the beginning of our Mishnah, the Mishnah says that if one is ma'anes a mamzeres, there's a chiv knas, and the Mishnah Masechta Makos says there's a chiv malkus. Taish says the reason the Gemara chose to ask from the last part of our Mishnah is because this din that there's malkus by having relations with a mamzeres is only quoted at the end of the Mishnah Masechta Makos. And the Gemara here did not want to wait till the end of the Mishnah Masechta Makos to ask its question. Another teretz that I saw is that a mamzeres is not always a chiyuv lav. A mamzer, as we know, may marry a mamzeres. However, these cases, achoisoi, achois aviv, etc., are situations that are always Chiyuv Malkus, so that's what the Gemara preferred to ask from those cases. Another answer that I saw from the Rishonim is that the only time there's an Isser to have relations with a Mamzeres, there's a Chiyuv Lav, is only if one was Mekadesh the Mamzeres. However, by Eishas Ochiv, Achoysoi, Achoysoviv, there, even without Kedushin, there's an Isser Koris. Another teretz, which is probably the simplest teretz, is the Gemara preferred to ask from the cases that we just quoted, which are a chiyuv kares, rather than asking from a chiyuv lav, and not a chiyuv kares. Mamzeres is only a chiyuv lav. The Pnei Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva Eger, asked a question that why didn't the Gemara answer that as we have been learning for the last number of shiurim, in order to employ the concept of Kimle B'Drabimenei, both Einshin, both punishments have to come simultaneously. However, we know that the Chi of Malkus comes for Tchilas Bia. As soon as one begins doing the Bia, he has a Chi of Malkus. On the other hand, the Chi of Knas only comes by Gmar Bia, at the end of the Bia. So the two punishments don't come at the same time, and therefore we shouldn't be able to use the concept of Kimle B'Drabimnei. Answers the Pnei Yeshua. It's obvious that even for the Chiyuv Malkus, the Gemar Bia is not a separate time. To explain, says the Pnei Yeshua. What would be the halach if one does Bia with one who does a Chiyuv Malkus? He has a Tchilas Bia and he has a Gemar Bia. Will he get two Malkus? Of course not. he'll only get one Malkus. So obviously, it's not that we separate the Tchilas Bia from the Gemar Bia. It's really considered one continuous act. And therefore, the continuous act, which culminates with a Gemar Bia, therefore these two Anshim do come together. And the Gemara's question is, we should only give one Einish because of Kimlei B'drab M'nei. The Rishonim point out that the Gemara could have actually answered the Kasha between the two Mishnayis, that our Mishnah is referring to a Besula, where there is a Chiyuv Knas, and the Mishnah Masechta Malkus is referring to a Be'ula, where there is no Chiyuv Knas. We could have said that the Mishnah in Masechta Malkus goes according to the Man D'Omer that by Ketana there is no Knas. Our Mishnah is going according to the Man D'Omer that by Ketana there is Knas. There are a number of ways of explaining and answering the question, but the Gemara obviously, says the Rishonim, wants to come up with cases that the situations are as similar as possible, and yet in one situation there'll be a Chiyuv Knas, and in one situation there'll be a Chiyuv Malkus. Says Ula, what is such a situation? Ula loy kasha kan b'chayse nara. Our Mishnah is referring to a chayse who's a nara, and therefore there's a chiyuv knas. And the Mishnah in Masechta Malkus is going b'chayse begeris, where there is no chiyuv knas. Ask the Gemara, a chayse begeris, even though there is no chiyuv knas, ha'ikah b'ayshes begam. We know what a halacha is, that aside from paying the knas when one violates this girl, he has to pay boishes for embarrassing her, and he also has to pay pagam. Pagam is how much would this girl be worth to be sold on the slave market, that if one wanted to buy a slave woman for his eved to live with, and he would be willing to pay extra for a besula that he could have relations with a besula. So, ask the Gemara, even if there is no chiyuv knas, there is still a chiyuv mamon for the boishes or begam. Answers the Gemara, b'shoita. The Mishnah there is referring to a shoita, where there is no begam, because no one is going to buy a slave woman for his eved to live with, who's a shoita. No eved wants to live with this woman, even if she's a besula. And similarly, there is no boishes because she's a shaita, so she doesn't feel any humiliation. Although, the Rishash points out, this that the Gemara says, that there is no boishes by a shaita, doesn't mean that every shaita has no boishes. The Rishash points out there are different shaitim with different levels of intellect, and some of them, even if they're considered halachically a shaita, may be subject to boishes. And in fact, this concept that there are different degrees of a shaita, we find in another area in halacha. There's a tshuvas chsam sofer. The chsam sofer was asked that there was a person who passed away, who was a wealthy person, and left quite a large inheritance, but the only child that he left over was a person who was a shaita, who was insane, and there was a lot of money. And the question that was asked was that there was a school in Vienna that could perhaps work with this individual and help him. However, the school was a non-Jewish school, non-kosher food was sold, it was a totally secular school. And the question that was asked to Chassam Sofer was, can a Jewish child be sent to such a school? And the Chassam Sofer draws a distinction. He says, if this is a shaita that has absolutely no intellect and is on a very low level, perhaps he may be sent there. But if he has some level of intellect, and therefore if we send him to the school, and even if we'll tell them to only serve them kosher food, and we'll tell the school to try to keep him in a Torah mitzvah, to keep him be mekayim Torah mitzvahs, that since we know it's a non-Jewish environment and the employees are all not Jewish, they won't really be careful. He says, if this person has some level of intellect, we have to watch that he should be able to do the mitzvahs that he can. Moreover, points out the Chassam Sofer, this child, although he's nebuch ha-shaita and cannot be mekayim any mitzvahs, he can be mekayim one mitzvah, a very important mitzvah. He doesn't eat macholos asuris. When he's in a kosher Jewish environment, he'll only eat kosher food. In another environment, he won't necessarily only eat kosher food. And we know the non-kosher food is metamtem as alev. It has a terrible effect on a person. And particularly, I saw Mefarshim explain in the Chassam Sofer, perhaps these people, who unfortunately cannot be mekayim most of Torah mitzvahs, by them, kashrus, macholus, asuris, is even more important, because this is at least one mitzvah they can be mekayim, and therefore the Chassam Sofer is very reluctant to allow this person to go to such a school. Ask the Gemara, there may not be any boishes begam, but this tsar, and the Shita points out, why didn't the Gemara ask about boishes and begam and tsar together? Points out the Shita that when we're going to learn in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Tes Mitzvashem about the Chiyah Boishes Begam and Tsar, the Mishnah separates it into separate categories, and that's why our Gemara continues to separate them into separate categories. So there is Tsar, answers the Gemara, is referring to Mefuta, that she was seduced. So since she was seduced, there is no Tsar, because she agreed to this relation. And in fact, many Rishonim explain that Nana was saying that we're referring to Mefuta, we no longer have to explain that we're speaking about a Shaita. Because once she's a Mefuta, so there is no Boishas and Begam either. And we could explain that the Mishnah in Masechta Makis is referring to a Begeres who was a Mefuta. Says the Gemara, Hashtag the Asus Lahochi, now that we're introducing this concept that the Mishnah Masechta Makis is referring to Mefuta, Afilu Teima Chois Nara. We could say that the Mishnah Masechta Makis is referring to a Nara, but we're going to say that she's a Yusayma and a Mefuta. So since she's a Yusayma, there is no Knas, because she doesn't have a father, and there is no Boishes Pagam and Tsar, because she was a Mefuta, and since she's a Mefuta, she, as Rashi says, was Meichel. She accepted this relationship with all the pain and humiliation that comes with it, and therefore she's not entitled to any payment. And that's why the Mishnah Masechta Makis says that she's Chayiv Malkus. Our Mishnah is not referring to such a situation, and therefore there's a Chayiv Mamon. Says Rabbi Chanan in explaining the Gemara. The way we're understanding the Gemara, says Rabbi Chanan, as Rashi just explained it, is really there's a chiyuv mamon, boishes pegam tsar. But since she is a mefuta, so to use Rashi's words, achuli achla gabei, she was meichel, she forgave this debt, and therefore the chiyuv malchus comes into play. In understanding Rabbi Chanan, we really need to say something that was said by Rabbi Chaim Briska. Rabbi Chaim Briska asks a question. As we've been learning and will learn, there are actually two sources that teach us the halacha of Kimlei B'Drabim Nei. One is the pasuk that we have been discussing, Lo Ye'asan, if people are fighting and there was no death, Lo Ye'asan, Nasim B'Flilim, they pay, money is paid. So we learn that if there is death, if there's a chiyuv mises bezdin, then there is no chiyuv mamon. Then there's another source, will be quoted in Amud Beis, Kedei Rishosai, Mishim Risha Achas Atam Mechayvai, V'yata Chayvai Mishim Shtei Rishayis. We only give one punishment, not two. And therefore there's an obvious question, why do we need two sources to teach us the same concept of Kimlei B'Drabmanei? Says Reb Chaim Brisker, the two psukim refer to two different situations. The pasuk of Moyeh Osen, as we explain, refers to a situation where the Zechiv Mises Bezdin and the Zechiv Momen. There the Torah is teaching us that the Chiv Mises Bezdin always supersedes the Chiv Momen, and even if there will be a situation where we will not give the Mises Bezdin for whatever reason, there still will not be a Chiv Momen. The Chiv Mises Bezdin wipes out, cancels the Chiv Momen. On the other hand, Kedei Rishasoi, which speaks about the Chiv Malkus Momen, teaches us that the Chiv Malkus perhaps supersede the Chiv Momen, as Ula says, supersedes the Chiv Malkus. But that Chiv Momen only supersedes the Chiv Malkus when the money will be paid. But if there will be a situation where the money will not be paid, the example that we're learning in our Gemara, where the woman Achulei Achlei was Moichel the Chiv Momen, it wasn't that the Chiv Malkus is totally cancelled, and the Chiv Malkus will come back, and there will be a Chiv Malkus. Says the Gemara, Al-Makasavar Ula, obviously Ula holds, the Kol Heichad Ikam Momen and Malkus, wherever it is a situation of a Chiv Momen and a Chiv Malkus, Memayna Meshalem, Milkel Eloki. So that's why Al-Mishnah says you pay Momen, only where the Momen cannot be paid, as in the case that we just described, is the case that the Mishnah Masechta Malkus refers to, that's when we'll pay Malkus. Ask the Gemara Menolei Le'ulaha, where does Ula know that Momen supersedes the Malkus? Answers the Gemara, Gomer Mechayvel Mechaveri. He learned it from the Halacha of Chayvel Mechaveri, if one wounds another person. Ma Chayvel Mechaveri, just like if somebody wounds somebody else. Dikim Momen and Malkus. We know there's a Chiv Momen. In fact, as we will learn, there are five Chiv Momens. Nezek Tzar, Ripu, Shevis, and Boishis. And there's also a Chiv Malkus. Because the Torah says, here the Torah is referring to a situation where Bezdin gives Malkus. And the Pasuk says, Arboim Yakena, give 39 Malkus. La Yosef, Pen Yosef, La Koisai. One may not give extra Malkus, because there's a Chiv Lav, there's a Chiv Malkus to wound another Jew. Machlokes Rishonim, from which words in that Pasuk do we learn the Chiv Malkus for wounding another Jew? Most Rishonim learn it's from the words Lo Yosef. The Torah is warning Bezdin, don't give extra Malkus, because there's a Lav to give Malkus to a Jew. Others learn from the word Pen Yosef. And the question is, why don't they learn from Lo Yosef? Explain the Mefarshim. Because Lo Yosef is speaking to Bezdin, perhaps. Bezdin is being told, be careful to only give the amount of Malkus this person is supposed to receive, and no more. Pen Yosef goes on to speak to everyone. And everyone, the Torah is warning, don't give your fellow Jew Malkus. So just like we see by Chayvel Chaveroi, that the halacha is Memayna Meshalim Milkel Eloki, that if somebody does wound another person, he pays for the damages and doesn't get Malkus. Al says Ula Af Kol Heichad Ikam Momen and Malkus. So too, wherever there's a Chiv Momen and Malkus, the halacha is Memayna Meshalim Milkel Eloki. Ask the Gemara, how could Ula learn from Chayvel Chaveroi? Chayv b'chaveri is unique. Mal chayv b'chaveri shekhen chayv b'chamish dvarim. As we just explained, chayv b'chaveri has a very unique chumra that you mechuyev to pay nezek tzari p'shevus abayshus. That's why that momen is more chumra, and that's why there we pay momen instead of malchus. And, says the Gemara, if we'll consider memayna l'kula, it will say that momen is less of a punishment than malchus. So why by Chayv B'Chaveri do we give Momen, not Malkus? Shekein Huta Mechlola B'Bezdin. We find that there are times where the Torah allows a person to receive Malkus. When Bezdin gives Malkus. So we can't use Chayv B'Chaveri as a source. Ask Tosfos. If the Gemara, at the first way of understanding, holds that Momen is more Chomer, so then why do we need a Pasuk, as we were going to learn on the base, to say that he pays Momen? We know that the halacha of Kimlei B'Drabmanei always tells us that we give the more serious punishment. So if the Gemara thinks that Momin is the more serious punishment, certainly we should give Momin, and we don't need a Pasuk. Answer the Rishonim. That when do we say Kimlei B'Drabmanei? That when somebody did two Averis, and there are two Einshim for those two Averis. So Kimlei B'Drabmanei says, give the more serious Einish. Somebody did two Averis, which there are two different Mises Bezdin, we say we give the more stringent Mises Bezdin. However, if there are two separate Chiyuvim, he did one Avera that brings with it two Chiyuvim, as in our Gemara. He did one Avera of Chayvu B'Chaveroi, and that Chayvu B'Chaveroi brings with it Momin and Malkus. There we don't necessarily have a limud that we give the more serious Einish, and that's why we need a pasuk. The Arsameach answers this question differently. He says, where does the Gemara always say that we have a situation where the person is chayif to Einshim, we give the more stringent Einish? That's when a person did an Avera that both Einshim are for Ben Adam Lamakim. He did an Avera for which the Zechi Mises Bezdin. Both are Averis Ben Adam Lamakim, and we say we give the more stringent punishment. However, in a situation where one is an Avera Ben Adam Lamakim, and one is Avera Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, Chayv B'Chaveroi has in it two dimensions. The Malkus is because it's an Avera Ben Adam Lamakim. The Mammon is because it's an Avera Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. There we don't know which Einish to give, and that's why we need a pasuk. So the Gemara continues asking the Mefarshim, consider that perhaps Mammon is the more serious Einish over Malkus. Ask the Mefarshim, what is more valuable than a person's life? What is more valuable than a person's well-being? So how can we consider Mammon a more serious Einish than Malkus? So the Chasam Sofer tries to explain that Mammon is considered a more serious Einish because sometimes the amount of damages could be quite serious. As we know, in a number of cases where people were damaged and the amount of damages came up into very significant sums. That's when the Gemara considers Mammon a more serious Einish. And sometimes where the damages, the financial damages are not that serious, that's when the Gemara thinks the Malkus is more serious. The Chazon Ish takes a different approach. This is really the approach that many Mefarshim take. The Chazon Ish says that certainly Malkus, which affects the person's well-being, is certainly a more serious Einish than Mammon. However, and this is similar to what the Arsameach said. Yes, Malkus may be the most serious Einish, but on the other hand, there's a person that was harmed. There was a person that was damaged. And perhaps taking care of his damages is more serious than taking care and giving this person Malkus. And that's why the Gemara is not sure which is more serious, Mammon or Malkus. And with this, many Paiskim, the Ratvaz, and many other Paiskim use this to answer a very serious question. They ask, if the Gemara considers Mammon a more serious Einish than Malkus, as the halach is, Chayv B'Chaveroi has to pay Mammon and not get Malkus. Ask the Paiskim, we know that if there's somebody in ill health, we have to do whatever we can to save a fellow Jew. And we have to spend all the money that we have to save him. So if the Gemara is saying that Mammon is more serious than Malkus, why is there no chiv for us to have to donate an organ to save another Jew? If we have to spend all the money we have to save another Jew, certainly we should have to spend give away our own organs if Malkus is less than Mammon. Of course, in a situation where it won't cause us to be in danger. Answer the Paiskim, like the Chazon Ish just taught us. Certainly, Malkus, certainly a person's well-being is more than money. And therefore, all the money should be sent to save another Jew, but it doesn't necessarily require that you should donate part of your body to another Jew. The Gemara here is questioning, because here it's referring to giving Mammon that we owe another Jew may supersede, may be more chomer than our receiving Malkus for our Avera. But certainly we see from this Gemara how serious of an Aveira it is to be choivel, to do damage to another Jew. And in fact, I saw a tshuva from Tzitz Eliezer, who discusses an inexperienced doctor. Is an inexperienced doctor allowed to administer an injection to a patient where it's very possible that he's going to wound him? And as Tzitz Eliezer says, even if the patient is aware that the doctor is inexperienced and may wound him, and the patient is meichel, it doesn't make a difference. We don't own our bodies that we could allow people to damage our bodies. And therefore, the Tzitz Eliezer is very concerned about allowing such a Jewish doctor to administer such a procedure on another Jew, particularly on Shabbos, where Chavola is a melacha. However, the Tzitz Eliezer says that if there are no other doctors available, or even if there are other doctors available, but they are busy doing more important procedures with patients that need them more, perhaps that's the heter to allow an inexperienced doctor to administer an injection on another Jewish patient. The Gemara said that chayvul b'chaveroi is considered hutta mechlaloi because we have a situation where Bezdin could give malchus. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman explains, why don't we use other examples of chavala being mutter? You're allowed to do mitzvah smila. Doing mila is a chavala. We're allowed to, as we just said, administer an injection. That's doing a chavala. Explains Rabbi Chanan, that's not called chavala. When one does something in order to be mekayim a mitzvah, in order to make a person better, that's not called chavala. That's called healing. And that's called for the person's betterment, for his person's taiva. That's not called chavala. Only the case of Agma, where the person already did the Aveira, and Bezdin's giving malchus, so it's not for the future, it's for the past. That's where the Gemara considers it a chavala, and is mutta b'Bezdin. And in fact, the Paiskim used this to speak about an interesting shaila. Rabbi Chanan is telling us a concept that wherever it's done for the person's well-being, it's not called chavala. The question is, could a son be a mile for a father? Obviously not a very usual situation. Or could a son administer an injection for a father? So the Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein I saw says that of course, l'chatchil, if there's someone else that could do it, a son should not do it, because the son may do more than he has to. But if there is no one easily available, it's mutter. Because as Al Gemara says, it's not, as the Rechonin just explained to us, that's not called chavala, and therefore it's permitted. So we're still looking for a source that when there's mammon and malchus, mammon is paid and not malchus. Says the Gemara, gomer me'edim zayman. Ula learned it from Edim Zayman. The halacha is that if Edim Zayman come and say that the person did something which he has to pay, they have to pay, and they don't get malchus. Even though my Edim Zayman did mamon a malchus, the halacha is mamon a mishalim milka loyloki, af kol hecha did mamon u malchus mamon a mishalim milka loyloki. Ask the Gemara, how can we learn from Edom Zayman? Mal Edom Zayman shekein ein tzrichin asra. Edom Zayman have a special chumra, as we will discuss in Mitzvah Shem, that they don't require any pre-warning, and they're still over the Avera, and they're punished as Edom Zayman, unlike any other Avera in the Torah. And if we'll hold Memayna Lekulahu, shekein le'asa maisa. Edom Zayman are very unique, that even though they don't do any maisa, they're still chayiv and einish. All they did is just speak. And therefore, we can't learn from Edom Zayman. The Mepharshim ask, this will only work if we hold that a Kimas Fosov speaking loy have a Maisa. But we know that throughout Shasta, the Shaila is a Kimas Fosov, is speaking a Maisa or not. So how will we understand this Gemara if we hold that a Kimas Fosov is a Maisa? So some say that a kimas vasov, even if we consider it a maisa, is not considered a significant act. And that's what the Gemara means. Other Rishonim explain that Edom, the speaking is not what's crucial by Edom, it's what they saw that's crucial by Edom, and seeing is certainly not considered a maisa. So therefore we can't learn from Edom Zayman either. Ella says the Gemara Gomer Tavayu. We're going to learn from Tzad HaShava. What's the common denominator between Adam Zoyman and Chayvul Chaveroi? Dick and Mammon and Malkus. They did an Aveira for which there's a Chayv Mammon and there's a Chayv Malkus. And the Aloch is Mamayna Mishalim Milkaloi Loki. From here we learn that Kol Eicha Dick and Mammon and Malkus Mamayna Mishalim Milkaloi Loki. Ask the Gemara Malat Sarashavish Behen. How can we learn from Adam Zomim and Chayim B'chaveroi from a Tzad HaShava? She can yesh ben Tzad Chomer. They have this, each has a stringent characteristic. Chayim B'chaveroi, that's Chayim B'chamish Dvarim. Adam Zomim, that don't require Hasra. Vim Amayna L'kulahu, and if we learn that Mammon is considered a Kula, she can yesh ben Tzad Kal. They both have a Tzad Kal that Adam Zomim, that they didn't do a Maisa. And Chayv B'chaveroi Shekein Hutta Mechlaloi. So how can we learn from there? Ask Tosfos and all the Rishonim ask the question, the obvious question. Every Tzad HaShava, what does a Tzad HaShava mean? That although each point of the Tzad HaShava has a specific Chumrah, we look for the common denominator that doesn't have the Chumrah. So if we're going to ask such a question, how will we ever have a situation of a Tzad HaShava? So Tosfos answers that the chumras and kulas that exist by Adam Zomim and by Chayv B'chaveroi are so unique that we can't learn from them to anywhere else. And that's why the Gemara is asking, they have such unique chumras and kulas, therefore they cannot serve as a source for anything else in the Torah. That's how Tosfos learns. I saw another pshat from the Pnei Yeshua and the Meram Shif. They explain that Adam Zomimin and Chayv B'chaveroi have absolutely no common denominator. They have no common characteristics. They're totally two different areas of halacha. Where do we say it Tzad HaShava? The Gemara means to ask that we say it Tzad HaShava only in a situation where there is at least something common between the two things that we're using to be a source. But if the two things that we're using as a source have absolutely nothing in common, we cannot use the limud of a Tzad HaShava. El Ula. So where does Ula learn that if there's a chi of Mammon and there's a chi of Malchus, Mammon is paid before the Malchus, Tachas Tachas Gomer. He learns a Gzer HaShava Tachas Tama. Ksiv Hocha. Regarding the Inyan of Oynis, the Pasuk uses the words Tachas HaShina. Bixiv Hosam, it says by Chayv B'chaveroi, Ayin Tachas Ayin. Ma Hosam, just like by Chayv B'chaveroi, as we will soon learn, the Loch is Mamayn Mishalim Milkalai Loki. Av Kol Hechad Ikam Mammon Malkus, so too, wherever there's a situation of Mammon Malkus, says Ula Mamayn Mishalim Milkalai Loki. And as Machlaikas Rishonim, how to understand this Kseir Rishava that Ula learns? Some Rishonim explain that once we have this Kseir Rishava, this is the way most Rishonim explain, once we have this Kseir Rishava, Ula is teaching us that everywhere in Halacha, where we have a situation of Mammon and Malkus, Mammon supersedes Malkus. Other Rishonim, however, learn that what Ula means only in these three situations, Oynis, Chayv B'chaveroi, and Adam Zomim, where we have the Psukim and the Kseir Rishava, that's where the halacha is. Mamayna Mishalim, Milkaloi Loki. But everywhere else in halacha, Ula will agree that Malkus supersedes Mammon. Rashi also explains that now that Ula learnt this word Gzeir Shava, and it's Gzeir Shava where the words are mufna, are superfluous, we cannot ask any question on this Gzeir Shava, and even as we learnt earlier, we learnt that there are reasons to question and say that Chayv B'chaveroi is different and Adam Zomim is different. Once we have a Gzeir Shava that's mufna, we cannot ask any other questions. The Rishonim also ask that we learnt at the beginning of our perek that there's a Chiyuv Knas by Chayv Elavin, because the Torah used the extra words nar, naro, hanaro. But now we have this pasuk, asked the Rishonim, the Mashal asked this question, to teach us that there's a Chiyuv Knas. So why do we need nar, naro, hanaro? So the Mashal answers that if we only had this limud, we would say that the only time there's a chiyuv knas by chayv lavin is by a woman who we can remain married to, even though it's a chiyuv lav. As Rav Chisda said, a nida, who's a chayv krisis, chayv lavin, but we can remain married to her. How do we know that the chayv lavin, that the person cannot remain married to that woman, still there's a chiyuv knas? That's why we need the extra limit. The Maram Shif answers that the reason we're able to learn this Kseiru Shava is only because we had the limit from Daf Chav Tes. After we learned on Daf Chav Tes the limit of Nar, Nara Hanara, that there is a Chiv Knas by Chayv Lavin and by Chayv Krisis, now the Gemara could use the Kseiru Shava to take it a step further and say that Mamayna Mishalem Milka Leilaki, the Mammon comes before Malkus. Ask the Gemara, that's Ula's explanation. Rav Yochanan gives a different explanation of how to reconcile our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechta Makis. You could say that the Mishnah in Masechta Makis is referring to the exact same situation as our Mishnah. It's referring to Achoy Sinara. However, Kan Shehisraba, our Mishnah, the Mishnah Masechta Makis, refers where he was warned that if he does this Aveira, he get Malkus, and that's why he gets Malkus. Kan, on the other hand, our Mishnah is referring to a situation, Shloi Hisraba, that he wasn't warned, and therefore, since he can't get the Malkus, he gets the Chiyuv Mamon. Amma, so obviously Rabbi Yochanan holds, just the opposite of Ula, the Kol Hechad Ika Mamon of Malkus, where there's a Chiyuv Mamon and a Chiyuv Malkus, ve'asraboy, and the person was warned that if he does this Aveiro, he'll be Chayiv Malkus. The Loch is Milka Loki, the Mino Shalim. Malkus supersedes Mamon. Ask the Gemara, Menolei L'Rach Yochanan Ha, how does Rabbi Yochanan know that Malkus supersedes Mamon? And ask Taisus Shishonim, that we, on Amud Aleph, try to understand Ula. And Ula was the one that said that the moment supersedes Malkus, and the Gemara didn't understand Ula. That means the Gemara obviously held that we should say that Malkus supersedes Mammon. So now when we have him and Amr, now when we have Rabbi Yochanan teaching us that that is Taka the Halacha, the Malkus supersedes money. So now the Gemara asks Menolei L'Rabbi Yochanan, answer the Tosfos Yeshanim. Before we had Ula's limit of Gzei Shava, it was Pasha to the Gemara, the Malkus supersedes Mammon. But now that the Gemara is established that we have a Gzei Shava, the Mammon supersedes Malkus, so now we have to understand why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan agree with that Gzei Shava. Answers the Gemara, Amakra, because the Pasuk says, Kedei Rishasoi, which we learn from that Pasuk, Mishim Risha Achasat Mechaivoi, we only hold him, give him one punishment, v'yat mechayv shtei rishoyis, we only give one punishment, and the pasuk next to it says, v'samach le'arboam yakeno. So we see when the Torah is teaching us the halacha of kim le'bet rabbinei, the Torah tells us that we should give only one punishment, and which is the punishment we should give? Arboam yakeno, Malkus. Ask the Gemara, v'arechayv v'chaveroi, as we learned on Amud Aleph, Dik Mammon and Malkus, which is a situation that there's a Chiyuv Mammon and Chiyuv Malkus, and we know the halach is Mamayna Mishalem Milka Leilaki. But if according to Rabbi Yochanan, why is that the halacha? Shouldn't the halacha be that he should pay, that he should give Malkus? Answers the Gemara, V'chi Teima, and the Gemara says, Hani Mila Hechad Lo Yisrobei. This halacha that by Chayv L'Chaveroi we pay Mammon and don't give Malkus, it's only in a situation where the person wasn't warned that he's going to get Malkus for doing this. Avil Israbei, but if he was indeed warned that for doing this Aveira he'll get Malkus, the halacha would be Milka Loki Mamayna Lemishalem, he would get Malkus and not pay Mammon. Says the Gemara, we know that's not true, because the Omer of Ami Omer Rabbi Yochanan, he called Hakosh Ein B'Shava Pruta, if somebody hit his friend and he gave him a makah that's not worth a pruta loika, he gets Malkus. Ask the Gemara, Hechidami, Idalay Yisrabei, if he didn't get warned, a my loika, why would he get Malkus? El Pshita. We never give Malkus if the person wasn't warned that he's going to get Malkus. El Pshita. It's obvious that the Torah is referring to a situation, Disrubei. And what's the reason that he's getting Malkus? Only Tam of the Lespa Shavapruta. Because there was no Shavapruta in this Malkus. That's why we're giving in this Chayvel. That's why we're giving Malkus. Hespa Shavapruta. Obviously we see that if there is a Shavapruta, Memayna Mashal Milkalai Lucky, we pay Mammon and not Malkus. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Malkus should supersede the Mammon. And Mepharshim discuss when we say that the Havala is less by Shavapruta, how do we evaluate that? Do we evaluate it that if the Nezek Tzar, Ripui, Shevis, and Baishis all combined together are not a Shavapruta, that's considered a situation of Hikar Hekar Shem by Shavapruta? But if they're all together a Shavapruta, but if each one separately, again, do we look at it that we have to have them all together? And only then, if it's not a Shavapruta, or perhaps even if we combine them, it is a Shavapruta. But the Nezik by itself, and the Tzar by itself, and the Ripui by itself, and the Shevis by itself, and the Boish by itself are not a Shavapruta. That's already considered a Hakor of Shein by Shavapruta. A Machloikis Hachroinim had a view Hakor Shein by Shavapruta. So again, the question is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why is the halacha by Chavala m'mayna m'shalim milka loylaki? According to Rabbi Yochanan, Malkus always supersedes Mammon. Answers the Gemara, could Amar Rav Elad b'feiruships the Torah einam zomim l'tashlumim. The Torah specifically says that by einam zomim, if there's a situation of Malkus and Mammon, he pays Mammon and not Malkus. Hachanami, similarly by Chavala, the Ferish Rips of Torah, Chayvel b'chaveroi l'tashlumen. Heichi itmed Rabbi Elah, ask the Gemara, where do we learn Rabbi Elah's halacha? Aha. The halacha is, me'idim anuish plaini, if Eidim come in and we say testimony about a man, shechayv l'chayv l'chaveroi m'sayim zuz, that he owes somebody else $200. V'nimtzim zaymimin, and it turns out that they were Eidim zaymimin, Surameya holds Loikin and Meshalmim. They get Malkus and they have to pay for what they want to make the man lose, the 200 zuz. Because according to Rameya, Shloya Hashem Mevila de Malkus, Mevila de Teshlumim. Rameya says these are two separate Averis and he gets separate Einish, he gets both Einish for both Averis. Divrei Rameya. For Chamraimer, we come hold, though we have a rule, Kol HaMeshalim and a Loika. Since the Eidim Zomim pay, they don't get Malkus. Ask the Gemara, maybe name a call like Eidim Shalom. Maybe the Eidim Zomim should get Malkus and not pay. Amar Rav Eloi, for that Rav Eloi says, but Pharaoh strips the Torah Eidim Zomim let the Shalom. The Torah says that they should pay more than getting the Malkus. Heichen rips in Torah. Where does the Torah say this? Ask the Gemara. Michti. The Pasuk says, Sisim loy kishazam lasas lochiv. We should do to him as they conspire to do to the people they testified against. Why does the Pasuk have to add the words Yad B'Yad Lomeli? To teach us Dova Nitim Yad L'Yad, that they're liable to pay something that's given from one hand to the other. What is something given from one hand to another? Ma'iniyu Mammon. So the Torah specifically is teaching us that Mammon, the Eidim Zomimim, Mammon supersedes Malkus. Chaybel Chaveri Nami, and the same thing we learn Chaybel Chaveroi Michti Ksiv Kashi Yasa Kenya Asaloi. The Torah says if somebody wounds another person as he did, so should be done to him. So the pasuk continues with the words Kenya Nasimboy, and the question is Kenya Nasimboy Lamali, to teach us Dova Sheyeshboy Nesina. Or my need, no. What is something that refers to giving? Mammon. And the Torah is teaching us that we should give Mammon over Malkus. So the Rishonim explain. So now that we have two psukim, by Chayv v'chaveroi and Eidim Zomim, the Mammon supersedes Malkus. Why is that not the halacha b'kol haTorah kula? So they explain, because Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad, we have two psukim that teach us the same thing, and the rule is Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad Ein Melanim. Two psukim teach us the same thing, they're no longer a source for anywhere else in the Torah. And as we always explained, the Rishonim explained, because if they're to be used as a source for the rest of the Torah, why does the Torah have to say it twice? The Torah should say it once, and we can learn for it for Chol HaTorah Kula. The fact that the Torah said it twice is to teach us only here do we have this halacha, nowhere else. However, as the Ritva, there is a man, the Amud, that says the Shnei Ksum Habam Ke'echad Melamdim. So why, according to that, why can these two halachas not be a source for Chol HaTorah Kula? So one answer is quite simple, is that since we have a Gzeirah Shava, we also have to take that into consideration. Another teretz that I saw the Rishonim give is, since as we learned at Amud Aleph, Chayv B'Chaveiroi and Edom Zayim have very unique characteristics, and the fact that they have these unique characteristics come to teach us that we cannot learn from them to call a Torah Kula, they're unique, there the halacha is Mamayim Mishalim Milkalaki, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, everywhere else the halacha will be Milkalaki Mamayim Enam Mishalim.